P.S. I Love Hoffman is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Brian, welcome back from your trip abroad, and Germany was part of it, right?
Yes, I actually am returning from Berlin.
How many times have you been in Germany now? Three, four? Eins, zwei,
I don't know how to count in German.
I've been once.
So, Kyle, we'd like to do this every time there's a... I guess a foreign, not foreign film, but an accented thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to try out some German accents?
Some German accents or some, am I trying to go for different regions?
If you want. No, German accents.
Yeah. Wunderbar. Bitte teilen.
So Philip Seymour Hoffman in this plays Günther Bockmann.
Günther Bockmann.
Try to do your best Günther Bockmann.
My best Günther is like a little bit like this. but that's he talks very low in this movie, and it's just you follow that woman.
This is one of one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's interesting accent jobs, but you know, I'm excited to talk about it. One of our last Hoffman films, and we get a get a German accent.
It's
bittersweet. We're getting to the bittersweet moments. I think it's fair to say
it's a pretty sauerkraut situation we're in.
Wah wah.
Iggy Pop, amen. Let it rock.
I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Truman Capote.
Why don't you have some fun?
Tommy, that's a painting.
Whoever she is, I'm gonna find her and I'm gonna hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish.
I'm always home, I'm uncool.
This is a process of dehypnotization.
Shut up!
Hey, Hoff fans, welcome to this week's edition of the P.S. I Love Hoffman podcast, our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm Kyle Reinfried.
We're always home, we're always uncool, and we're always ready to talk great movies.
Yeah, I mean, Hoff fans, we're getting towards the near end. This is our third to last film, and this is the last film that our late great, our main man, Philip Seymour Hoffman, that he starred in. We've got part one and part two of Mockingjay coming up, but this is like his last, his last hurrah.
Yeah, and it's the last film released in his lifetime. It was theatrically released, I believe, after he passed away, but he talked about it, and he saw it at Sundance.
Yeah, this played after God's Pocket, and this film played at Sundance.
Sundance.
This is the second one, and he passed away a week like after it came out. But anyway, we have a guest with us.
Yeah, the movie, by the way, is...
Oh, the movie, by the way, is The Most Wanted Man. Even towards the end, people were just, just professionals till the end.
And yes, you alluded to, we do have a guest, Kyle.
Yes. Kirkland Shepherd, welcome.
What's up? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming on. You're our last... like, film episode guest. So thanks for squeezing in right towards the end,
It's an absolute honor. I'm psyched. And a little nervous.
Oh, no, don't be nervous.
Trust me, we suck. We're just like...
brilliant marketers till the end.
Oh, come on. We're happy with what we do. But if you're listening to this episode...
Yeah, we've done something right.
Yeah, we've done something right. We're not sure what it is.
Or maybe you're a Most Wanted Man fan, and this is our first episode. So welcome to P.S. I Love Hoffman.
So, Kirkland, welcome to P.S. I Love Hoffman. So I guess...
to give the Hoff fans a little bit of...
context, I suppose.
Context. We met you. You actually came to a party of Brian's, and was that the first time you guys met as well?
Yeah, it's the first time we met.
Yeah.
And so, so we all met on the same day.
Dressed to the nines.
Yes. And we just, a little small talk, and we discussed how we have a podcast, and we said, Philip Seymour Hoffman. And I just, saw it in your eyes. You were excited, and you stated how you are a big, fan of his. So.
Best to ever do it.
So, we mentioned
it. We certainly agree with that.
Yeah, so we mentioned it, and we asked you if you'd like to be on it, and now it's a few months later, but we got you in here, and again, thank you for coming on. So it's just Kirkland is a big Philip Seymour Hoffman fan. I think that's what we need to know best about you, right?
That's it.
That's it. Nothing else.
That's all I got.
And being as you're a big fan, we ask all our guests two questions, our new guests.
Yes.
The first question is, what film did you first recognize Philip Seymour Hoffman in, or just identify him, or anything like that? Like, when did you become conscious of his greatness, I suppose?
The first film, it's funny, the first film I saw him in was Boogie Nights.
Oh. It's a great Scotty J.
Yeah. And then saw 25th Hour.
Ah.
And then was like, oh, shit, that's the dude from Boogie Nights. And then went back and watched it again and was like even more blown away.
Yeah, because, I mean, he is phenomenal in Boogie Nights, one of my favorite films, one of my favorite directors, if not my favorite director, and one of my favorite roles of his. But that's a big ensemble, so not that he gets lost, but there's plenty of other people to focus on. But that's awesome that you watched 25th Hour and then revisited Boogie Nights and appreciated him, you know, even more so.
Yeah, yeah. That was a killer role. It was like maybe one of my favorites of his.
Well, that I guess that leads to
good segue.
Our second question.
See, I don't know why you're so nervous. You're doing this perfectly. Yes, the second question we always ask is, what are some of your favorites, if not your favorite, Philip Seymour Hoffman roles and / films?
Yeah, something about the role in 25th Hour was such a real dude.
Yeah.
You know, like a semi-troubled still waters run kind of deep. Yeah.
Yeah, who plays the student? Anna Paquin, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And like their relationship, and I love that shot that he's like floating almost, like they do like that dolly shot that
it
just looks like when he's, I guess he's really drunk, right, and going to the bathroom, and he kisses her, and it's just, he's just always, right now, I'm just like, and he kisses her, I'm like my shoulders are like moving into like defense mode, he plays such vulnerable, and awkward, and, right? And even, I mean, in today's role, that's just, it's, you know, he's a spy, but he's still, just the way he carries himself, it's just like at any moment you just feel like he's gonna break, or just the way he's smoking cigarettes in this movie. But yeah, that's, yeah, 25th Hour, that's a...
The mannerisms.
Mannerisms.
Got it.
He says so much in his full body, his performance says that. It's something that we've definitely noticed, is the vulnerability and just his literal full body of the performance. Yeah, but 25th Hour, I like how he ends up with the dog.
Yeah.
That makes me happy.
that's nice that he has a companion at the end. This is a bit more of a... I mean, it's a sad ending, but it's oblique, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word.
Oblique? Isn't that part of the body?
Isn't
your obliques?
No.
But you can use it both ways.
Oh, you can. Oh, okay.
Just kidding.
Good thing we have a fitness professional in the house.
Yeah. Yes.
I just want to read, because I, you know, I'm always Mr. IMDb trivia for the film, and there was just they said specifically made this like paragraph writing out what Philip Seymour Hoffman said about working with the screenwriter. He said, "This movie is about a lot of things, including obviously how countries deal with terrorism, but it's also about a man who keeps doing the same thing and getting the same result. You get the feeling he can't stop. He really feels like he's trying to do the right thing, and I think actually he is." Hmm. Like, that's just, you know, I mean, this is a film that I liked it. I think it was very well made. It's slow. I mean, so it falls into this spy, right? Espionage, thriller.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think thriller might be too heavy of a term.
The trailer and Hoffman's, you know, like we posted the trailer yesterday. That's what we post posters on Mondays on our Facebook page and trailers on Tuesdays, and then the episode always comes out every Wednesday, Kirkland. And I watched the trailer, you know, obviously yesterday, and they make it like seem like it's gonna be like, you know,
more of like a fast pace.
Yeah, on the run, you know, like really like a like Born Identity or something.
Oh
like
yeah,
that.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what though? It was I remember thinking, I was sitting here like, okay, and the way it ended, mm-hmm. the lead in, the I guess the kind of serenity of the whole thing. Well, not serenity, but it was really like monotone. And then just bang, bang, bang in the end. It actually made it worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That yeah. calm before the quick banger of a storm.
Well, this was a very, like, subdued role of his. Like, he's someone that didn't mind in, like, a lot of roles becoming, you know, he's a very physically, like, there's the one moment in the bar where he punches that one guy, which right. I loved, but like,
see, just a little side note with that, and we could talk about it later, but mm-hmm. we started seeing his career so many times. He was a guy who got punched,
yeah,
you know, and he's ending his career as a guy who punches, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, he leads a revolution in the Hunger Games, so
true.
Yeah, so but like this, he really doesn't raise his voice. You know, there's a lot of roles where he gets very intense. I mean, I think he's very intense just in general, but I mean like physically and vocally.
This is one of his subtle under the surface mm-hmm. roles.
Yeah. So and so that is interesting. That's like, and again, in like a high tension, you know they're dealing with terrorism in this movie.
Mm.
But it's not till like the very end where he's just like, you know, what happens that he's just screaming fuck at the top of his lungs.
Yeah.
And, but.
Yeah.
So before we dive in too deep, Kyle, why don't you tell our audience, if they haven't seen it,
yes.
what this film's about.
So Gunther Bachmann, that's my little
done.
Dankeschön. Leads a covert German government team that focuses on Islamic terrorist groups. When refugee Isa Karpov shows up in Hamburg, they begin to thread a plot that will lead to uncovering a local philanthropist funding Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda.
Tomato. Yeah, exactly. Good. So, yeah. Good. Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes, it was pretty high on Rotten Tomatoes in terms of the critics. I have it open right here.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
I know it's 65% audience.
That's, I think, I'm not going to say fit, but that's expected, I would
but
say.
87 critics. That's a big distribution.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, again, that's like what I said, like, it's not like I'm in love with this movie, but it's a really well-made movie.
Yeah.
It's really well shot. It's a terrific yeah. cast. I do feel like some of the actors weren't necessarily used to their full abilities. Like, I love Willem Dafoe.
Question.
Yes.
How much of that do you think had to do with the accents?
Well, yeah. That's something that we even talked on the way over here. Weird that such a German film cast three North Americans.
Yeah,
like Rachel McAdams being Canadian.
Yeah, I read that they wanted to make sure to hire a European filmmaker. So that's Anton Corbin.
Yeah, and most of the principal cast, like the main terrorist guy. Well, what's his name? Isa, whatever, is a Russian actor.
Yes,
I looked at his Wikipedia and it said he was the Russian James Franco.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Sure,
that's.
But the other ones, the
principal cast, something.
Yeah, most of the principal cast was German, including one guy, Daniel Brühl.
Yeah, which mm-hmm. totally,
was in a lot of stuff. Yeah,
I mean, he was.
He's great.
His breakout role was in Inglourious Basterds, and unfortunately,
I mean, I think to mainstream audiences, but I mean, he's been, like he was. He was
well, to American audiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
So I've
been watching him since Goodbye Lenin, German film though.
Ah, yes. So yeah,
Rush.
And he was.
And he has a show now, right? Or he did a miniseries?
Oh, yeah. It's the
Alienist?
With, yeah,
the Alienist, yeah.
On like TNT or something like that. Or
yeah, so he's got a career now, but he's kind of the only German actor I knew
yeah.
there.
But then, I mean, you've got an American in Robin Wright, but she's playing an American.
Yeah, she's playing an American. That's okay.
And she's the third collaboration with our main man, Philip Zimmer Hoffman.
Can you name the other two?
I wrote them down.
Okay, good.
The miniseries Empire Falls, and then...
Which they were actually like...
They were like, they played lovers in, but then Moneyball, which they didn't share.
Yeah, they didn't share any screen time.
So they're nice, yeah. And I saw that she attended his funeral, so that was... I guess, you know, it was the last thing they collaborated.
Yeah, they have great scenes together in this. They have great little, like, chemistry in this. Yeah.
But then the other, we've got, you know, so our main man playing Gunther Bachmann, and he's playing a German and does a very good, I don't know, for the Germans I've met. We've both been...
Yeah, I just got back from Germany.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I can never tell if it's a good German accent. It sounds like a good German accent because I'm not German.
Yes.
You know? But I don't know how the Germans feel. He could be... It's always... You know, the British are good at doing American accents, but you hear that, like, the Americans are bad at doing British accents. But we can't tell because it sounds good to us.
I feel like because we... I mean, there's obviously fast-talking Americans, but we still, like, are, like, more long-winded. Like, I feel like our word... I don't know. What'd you think of the accents here?
Weren't terrible. I think less is more, which was a good thing.
Yes. In the case of...
Yes, they were like, oh, I'm Gunther Bachmann.
Well, you know, that's like, the whole Willem Dafoe. Like, when he started speaking, at first I wasn't sure if he was playing British or German, but then right away I'm thinking of, like, Life Aquatic, where I forget his character's name.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, why am I always BT? Like, it's very, like Bug's Life, like, I'm a baby butterfly.
Yeah. It was like, right. And yeah,
dude, no, that guy flustered is one of the greatest things to watch. Dafoe? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. He's just...
great actor. And first time they've collaborated.
Yes.
And only, unfortunately. Yeah.
And then Rachel McAdams, again, we were talking beforehand, but she's Canadian.
Yeah.
But she does... They're very simple accents, so it's not thick, it's subtle. Yeah, so I'd say job well done on the accents, because I guess they weren't distracting. So maybe they weren't perfect accents, but they're perfect for us with our listening.
Yeah, it didn't sound like a joke. And I think the movie did not make a lot of money, but I think this movie was obviously more made for the American audience than the German audience. Because why cast these people then?
Yeah.
Anyone else of note?
Actually, I'd like to point out that, so there's the one, I didn't write her character's name down, but the actress Vicky, and I'll go out and say Crepes. She's part of Philip Seymour Hoffman's like team, and she was just in Phantom Thread.
She was great.
She was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I am doing a little bit of a Phantom Thread right now and going out on a limb and saying longtime collaborator Paul Thomas Anderson, longtime friend of Philip Seymour Hoffman, saw this film, and maybe that's where he discovered...
That'd be nice. Let's Vicky. Ship that.
That's my little... I'm not thinking about terrorism.
Who did she play?
I guess the biggest thing to...
I mean, she didn't do much.
She didn't do much, but she's the one that pulls up on the bike next to Rachel McAdams.
Oh, okay.
To give you an easy. So she's not... I mean, there's the two
There's the
women,
main girl.
There's the main one that's like
his partner. His main partner.
Yeah. Her name is Irna Frey. She's played by Nina Hoss.
Apparently she had some episodes on Homeland, which I didn't watch.
I watched the first three seasons and then gave up.
I watched the first season. That was it for me.
And then the only other... And then... Brian, you'll appreciate this, I think. It also, one of the trivia was Philip Seymour Hoffman appeared in a play in Hamburg 20 years before.
Oh.
Do you know where I'm going to go with this?
No, tell me.
Our biggest mystery of the podcast, Philip Seymour Hoffman was in this Polish movie called Schuler. And we don't know very much, we know very little about it, because it's a very... If Hoff fans have been listening from the beginning, you know the story of Schuler, but just to give a little thing, it's this Polish, directed by a Polish man.
Person, yeah.
And it's dubbed in. Wait, no. What's.
No,
I'm sorry. They all speak English, except, and all of them are Polish actors, except for Philip Seymour Hoffman. But then there was. The only version we could find was a one person, like, Polish dub. We've gotten into this, and that
very
was something
crappy
that
quality
happened.
Too. It was like his second movie or something.
Yeah, and so since this is 2014, they've shot in like 2013, even 2012. This is 20 years before. That's right around the same time as Schuler.
You think after?
So I'm thinking maybe after he was in this Polish movie, stayed around in Europe and did a play in
maybe,
Hamburg.
Yeah. I actually heard him talk about you. I forgot to tell you.
Oh.
He briefly mentioned it in an interview for Hunger Games.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. That he briefly mentioned that going to
Poland.
Going to Poland.
Yeah, because he's in his early, like, mid-20s, and he was in...
It's like, this film is like the big mystery.
It's a period piece, and it's
so
just,
weird.
It's very,
we had to put it together, yeah. It's the Holy Grail. That's why we're pretty sure, besides him and his mother, by the end of this, we will have seen... Well, at this point... Well, I don't know if I've seen both Hunger Games, but at this point, we will have seen every Philip Seymour Hoffman film.
Yes.
And they're probably... This many people. I'm sorry, I'm putting my hand up.
Yeah.
You can count on probably one hand that many people have seen every Philip Seymour Hoffman film moment, I'm sure. Because I doubt he even showed that film to people.
Yeah, I don't think it really did.
Because it was very hard. It was like an illegal website.
I'm going to go to Poland.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Poland someday and find like a print of this movie. And at least watch it there, if not bring it back here.
Shula.
That is so crazy.
But this is a return to a European role.
Yes.
Has he played a European since
he's played an American, like in the sense of that, like he's first generation Greek in, but he's very American in that. But
yeah, which is a similar Charlie film, Wilson's Charlie Wilson's War. Yeah. Mm.
So this is another of his political, the fourth.
Yeah.
And
he was in A Boat Off England in.
Oh yeah, that too.
What movie was that? Okay, you want to see the
I
boat that
rocks, rocks, but Pirate Radio.
Pirate Radio, yeah. In the US, yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, let's.
I want to say, like, I really enjoyed this film, but I knew I would enjoy it more than most people because, you know, I like slow-burning films.
And then geopolitical.
And I like geopolitical issues. Government and politics major at St. John's. So yeah. It's like, this is like, ooh. And I love Germany. Again, I've been, like, 3 or 4 times. Like I said, just got back from Germany.
Yeah.
So I get why it's 65%, but I'm more in that critic thing because I actually... I enjoy that slow burn. I enjoy the
Did you recognize a lot of the places?
In Hamburg?
Yeah, in Hamburg.
I was just in Berlin, so... Yeah. I mean, yeah, just the general shots, just the establishing shots and stuff.
It's a harbor town. We like a
good Yeah, we town. Like good harbor towns here.
I mean, what did you think and feel about it, Kirkland?
You know, it's funny. I didn't even give it a slow burn. It was almost like... predictable, but then the end. So it was almost like I felt like it was fairly flat on a platter, so you could get punched in the face in the last 45 seconds or the last 90 seconds of the film. And it really was like what the fuck, you know, what just happened with Robin Wright. And that last little glare where you were talking about the chemistry and then their eye contact was almost like, yeah, we didn't have shit. And she got in the car and rolled out. Pardon my French.
No, it's true.
I just say she looked very weird as a brunette?
Yeah.
But I think since there were so many blondes in the movie, they asked her to become a brunette or something.
I think it worked.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I think it worked. I think it worked for her character.
Sure.
But I think if it doesn't have that ending... This movie just feels like not a TV show, but you know what I'm saying, like a
like a
procedural.
Very.
If there was some kind of
like
German.
You said, there was a predictability to it,
right?
But it is, it's, and well, it's not even necessarily like an actor's piece.
No,
but
I feel like it was climax at the end, like the predictability. It was like the bubblegum. In the blow pop. Like, it had to be kind of steady.
Uh-huh.
Because even in the very end, when, what was his partner's name?
Who knows?
Nina Haas.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
When she comes over and, like, it's all crumbled and he realized, like, oh, man, I can't believe this happened. I don't know why, but I thought about his little monologue about the It Takes a Barracuda to Catch a Shark.
And that's awesome that you said that, because that is what I would love. I want to play that clip. So you know what? We're here right now. Let's play that clip. And we'll then kind of talk about that scene, because I think it gives a great explanation of what their, like, almost like their just general, like, mission statement as a group is.
German intelligence needs a job to be done that German law won't let it do. So me and my people, we stay small. We stay on the streets, we make the weather. Our sources don't come to us. We find them. We become their friends, their brothers, their fathers, their lovers, if we have to. When they're ours, and only then, we direct them at bigger targets. It takes a minnow to catch a barracuda to catch a shark.
I don't fish, Herr Bachmann.
It's a metaphor, Erhard. Just a metaphor.
We take our time. We watch. We wait. We see what Allah provides. Well, this time Allah has provided Isaac Karpov and his ill-gotten millions. As you can see from the report my team has compiled, Dr. Abdullah has provided an extensive list of his favorite charities to be the recipients of those millions. Each one of those charities has been CIA cleared. It is my belief he will replace one of the names on this list with another. Seven Friends Navigation Company.
What kind of proof can you show us?
Proof is what we're looking for.
If this Abdullah, if this barracuda, if I've understood the metaphor, takes the bait, with what leverage will you secure his cooperation?
On the negative. Threat of prosecution, prison, public humiliation, discrediting of his charities, deportation of his wife and children. I choose the positive. Amnesty, citizenship, for which he has applied half a dozen times.
Now we are offering citizenship to financiers of terror?
You are all familiar with the operational plan. We have 3 hours to apprehend Abdullah, make him ours, and get him back home before anyone notices.
And if he does not comply?
Then he's yours. Do with him whatever you need to do.
And Issa Karpov?
He's to be left alone.
In my eyes, it's unacceptable.
Find someone else to parade before the cameras. That was agreed. He has our protection.
Martha, what is the American perspective?
Maybe if you could define for us what you think the long-term objective would be. What are we trying to achieve?
To make the world a safer place.
Yeah, so that scene, they go to Berlin, right? And at that point, it's like a meeting of other German officials, and then Robin Wright, she plays, what's her character's name? Martha Sullivan. So it's her and this guy, like this German official, Mohr, that seems to kind of be the foil in the German government to our main man, to Gunther. And that's just like he just kind of explained. And I love, yeah, so I love the guy doesn't get the analogy.
It's so, just again, from returning from Germany, it's so German, like that bureaucratic way to go about things. They're very efficient people.
Yeah.
And Gunther in their world is like a rebel, you know?
Even yeah, he's like a rock, no, not rock.
A rock star.
But punk rock.
He's like a badass.
Yeah,
like.
In the government system. Because they never get into it, but they allude to like him being kind of disgraced by some kind of plan at one point didn't go.
Apparently, the book goes into it more.
Yeah.
From what I read, it's like he did this similar thing where he didn't get a guy enough, and
they got away.
They got away. And
yeah. So
like even 9/11 is alluded to at the beginning.
Well, that's what I'd like to. Yeah,
one of the hijackers was in the Hamburg cell.
Yeah, it was like 9/11 was kind of planned like in the Hamburg.
And
Hamburg.
Like you know, possibly it's his fault. 9/11 is Philip Seymour Hoffman's fault.
There was a scene between he and Robin Wright where she mentions, like whatever that was, not being his fault, or like. I forgot what the wording was.
Well, she's,
but he has this stillness in his face, like, I don't know, this kind of epiphany, or she just, like, gave him some pretty serious information.
Yeah, I mean, the whole time, you know, since it's, like, dealing with spies.
Yeah, you don't really know.
You don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who to trust.
Yeah.
He has his go-to team. But it is very... but she is being, like, kind of nice to him and says, like, at one point, like, oh, no, that sounds, you know.
Yeah, that's why it's, like, her I don't want to call it a double cross, but her, fuck you, I'm arresting the guy anyway thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, is awesome, you know.
Yeah, it's just one of those, again, so I don't know what to necessarily, like, I guess what I like about it is because it's kind of showing, like, a brief moment in time. I mean, it still is relevant in the sense of, like, it's dealing with refugees. And, I mean, while that might not be in the headlines right now, that was obviously, like, a big story throughout last year. And Germany is a place for a lot of, like, Islamic or Muslim refugees in between. I didn't notice... it as
oh,
much
yeah.
in Hamburg as in when I was in Berlin as well. But I mean, Hamburg still seems like, I remember walking around it, there's so many like freshly painted still like hammers and sickles. It just it seems like a very still possibly like divided city, or just people I don't know.
I didn't even think about that while I was watching and thinking about the timing.
Mm-hmm.
That's they went for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty... like,
yeah.
It's 2014. We're talking 2 years later. That becomes... I mean, especially with, like, ISIS becoming part of our vernacular.
And I think that's even more credit to this author. Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Ooh, we said it.
We were saying it before. He's very famous in the spy genre.
John Le Carre.
Yeah, John Le Carre. Like, people always say, like...
John Picard.
Jean-Luc
Picard? From
like, oh, a Jean-Luc Picard spy novel. This guy's been writing the top spy novels since the 60s. Like, I don't read enough of spy novels. But
no, neither do
I. I think only a couple of his books have been adapted.
Yeah, the one was Tinker Tailor
with Gary Oldman.
Yeah, that did
Soldier
like
spy.
Well as far as I know, that got a few nominations.
Yeah, a little polarizing, I know. And there was another one that got adapted.
I mean, it played at Sundance, but this movie didn't really, you know, receive any recognition.
No, it didn't have a wide release or anything like that. But he wrote it a couple years before this movie was shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty, you know. Recent, it's not
in
like,
the late 2000s. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think like 6 years before.
Yeah, so then you say like, wow, this guy, like, he's ahead of the curve here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so is this film.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have Russians in the news as well, and this is very much like a Chechenian-Russian story, too.
Yeah, I mean, they build some interesting, like, relationships and dynamics, because you have the character of Rachel McAdams, and she works for some, Sanctuary North?
Yeah, she's like an immigration lawyer.
Yeah, so she kind of helps people, like, that are seeking asylum, and so, I mean, the film opens with this character of, Issa. And with the snuck on, like, I think it's a big port city, so on a boat from Turkey, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then right away we do get our main man on the phone, and it's a lot of, there's not like too many scenes. I mean, we played that one scene for you, but it's very much just, it's kind of cool. It shows you like the, almost like the blue collaredness of the spy world, of the government agencies, and this, like, you know, task force that's, I mean, they've, I think the Germans, again, it's addressing like that they feel very, you know, a lot of pressure from like 9/11, and just that their country seems to be a place where a lot of people of, you know, that are Muslim, Islamic, that they seek refuge, and that it's just a world where, unfortunately, you know, you can't trust a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I like, you mentioned, blue collar. This isn't a glamorous film.
No, in our last movie with God's Pocket, that was like a blue collar Philadelphia. This is blue collar Hamburg, I guess.
did you mention the director?
I said, yeah, Anton Corbin, yeah.
And he, what other films has he done?
His
he
other,
did
his big
The American?
One was The American.
The American,
with
yeah.
George Clooney, which is another, like, foreign espionage.
That movie brought back that style of posters. I don't know if you remember the poster.
I remember talking. I even bought that movie, the DVD, the movie, without having seen it before, just because I loved, like, the cover of the DVD. It was one of the last, like, DVDs I bought before going to Blu-rays, I think.
So yeah, that's what I remember about that.
Yeah,
film.
It's just like white and orange. It looks very like 70s, you know, yeah, like you said, like Marathon Man or like a Steve McQueen movie. It's like white and orange.
Yeah, orange.
And, yeah. And this film, again, for Poster Monday, there wasn't too many, they really didn't do too many different types of posters.
No, it wasn't marketed a lot, this film, which is weird because he just died. You would think they would try to take advantage of that.
Yeah, just like,
I'm glad they didn't, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, it's not like The Dark Knight, you know, posthumous, like Heath Ledger.
Oh, man.
More people are going to go see that, slash also like The Last Jedi with Carrie Fisher. But at the same time, it is, yeah, it's a little surprising that, I mean, some slimy person in Hollywood didn't say, like, go like, oh, this Academy Award winning actor, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they're even pushing it like, for Phantom Thread, it was Daniel Day-Lewis. You know, he's retiring. The man's retired and become a cobbler in Italy already.
Right.
Before, so he'll be back.
Yeah, and he'll be back.
Acting will call him.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. There will be some juicy role that he'll probably end up playing, like, you know, an Italian shoe cobbler.
I wanna ask. I guess put this out. This question out there. I mean, more for you, Kyle, because you saw we've been doing this journey together, but just in general. Well, first, what did you think of Philip Seymour Hoffman's performance in this overall? Because this is late career Hoffman, and we've had some. Not everyone has been on board with late career Hoffman. We'll put it that way.
No, so I mean, just as far as like he as a person goes, this is, and he's very heavy set at this point. He's like looks disheveled, but I mean, he's taking these roles that he's also playing kind of like disheveled individuals, so it's, I don't know where, you know, where life is then turning into like art, you know, where the you know, line crosses there. But as far as his performance, again, he's very much, I feel like every scene he's in, he's letting the other person like work off of him very well. You know, it's very much like a good like back and forth. He's just playing the you know, like the calm and the other. Not that it's every performance, a great performance doesn't mean that the person's getting really intense like or whatever. But it's, I feel like, you know, like he's really good, but it's more like every scene, like the person that plays across from him, it's like almost like their time to shine in a way.
Yeah,
like he's really. It's a lead role that he's supporting a lot, I guess.
Yeah,
it's interesting that way.
What do you think?
Yeah, what do you think, Kirkland?
I thought nuanced. So, like, one of my favorite scenes was when Nikki? Vicky Crepe? No. The assistant. Nina Haas.
Yeah.
Nina, yeah.
When she goes in to the interrogation room to speak with
Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
Annabelle.
Yeah. The look on his face, it's this very subtle excitement to watch his partner do her thing.
Yeah.
And it's so nuanced because you look and he walks to the right, and then he comes back to the left and he's not really doing it anymore. And you're like, did he just do that? And you're like, yeah, he probably did because he's that good. And when they were in the van right before the signature, and he's just like, he's watching and he just like puts his hand on his shoulder. It's that. I felt like there was authenticity to it, like when he gets out of the chopper and he's pulling his belt up.
He's just a master
of
the little character traits.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, like he has these like joyful moments, like where it's just, you know, it's got to be a world where there's more disappointments or, you know, more failures than, you know, than succeeding.
Yeah. And so he's not even smiling. He's not smiling. No. There's just this little like.
Well,
hint
his
of
eyes get wider.
Yeah,
second of all, like you said, the pat on the back.
Yeah,
and again, he's it's that he plays very, you know, these characters that again very vulnerable, but then he's also played a lot of mentors, and that's what I kind of got from that relationship. Almost like he's kind of, you know, they're like, you know, she's like his right hand, you know, like person, but it feels like there was a bit of like a mentorship to her in a way.
Mm-hmm.
you know, they're equals, but...
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you guys are saying. Like, I was a little worried, because I'd never seen this film before, and I was a little worried about late-career Hoffman, because I hadn't seen those Hunger Games films before, and I was like, I don't want to see this guy lose it, because everything I'd seen was awesome, mm-hmm. and I don't know if he, you know, because his personal life, obviously, he had shit going on, you know? And I was just hoping that he would keep bringing it towards the end. And this movie has helped validate that he does, because it's not... He can go through the motions. He's big enough at this point where he can just read the lines and do his thing and it'll be okay. But it's that subtlety in the face and the way he walks and how he carries himself that's continuing here that, again, awesome for me. Validates it for me.
Yeah, it's the same with me that, like, there's just... I mean, we covered... that period where he was just like, it was like every film was like a haymaker after a haymaker, like some of his most like notable like films. And then, you know, since The Master in 2012, it kind of got like a little quiet again, a little bit more like subdued in a way, or just but they're just quieter performances, mm-hmm. as far as just the characters and the films.
Yeah,
and
honestly, not a lot of big movies. Not a lot of big movies.
But, you know, I mean, but obviously then he's in this huge franchise of that of the Hunger Games that he's playing a supporting character in three of them. But I'm sure that, you know, if he didn't pass, that there would have been that next really juicy, meaty, you know, like role of his.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like you said something that was interesting, Brian. You said not a lot of big movies. But I felt like a lot of big roles. And if you're really paying attention, like, to act out.
Yes.
Like, here's my scene, you know. That's almost easier in a way than the humanizing kind of, I don't know, becoming the ticks and the twitches and the this is how I do my belt and the stuff that you're like, you'll only be with them for 90 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, or 2 hours, but you're like, by the second half, you're like, oh shit, I know this guy. Like, I knew he was going to do that when he walked through the door, because that's what he does when he walks through the door.
Yes, and the, you know, smoking cigarettes and, yeah, his little character quirks and traits. And yeah.
Almost nothing with him ever feels out of place once we're into a film.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, he always makes you believe.
Absolutely.
And
well said.
I think some of these, again, since it wasn't like a thriller and it wasn't like a chase film, like there's the one little moment where he drives the car and try, you know, like whatever, but it's not, you know, no one's really running it. After one another, I feel like this could be translated to stage. And he is, you know, that's the world that he loved the most, actually, you know, theater. And I feel like, you know, that's something that carried over into possibly the last film with God's Pocket and now this one, you know, A Most Wanted Man, that whether it could be performed on stage, that he maybe took a little bit of that approach, or just, you know, knowing that you have, I don't know, I mean, I don't go to theater a lot, so I know, obviously, actor, you know, just through projecting that they have to get loud at some moments, and maybe those little character traits might get lost from, like, a distance in a theater crowd, but I think that's just what, a master of their craft does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And if you think about the adaptation, almost every single character's role, I mean, good movies do this, but this movie, like, intensively did it. You thought one thing, and by the end, it was something else, you know, like William Dafoe comes in, and you're like, oh my god, this creepy kingpin, and then by the end, he's like cowering to run into his Mercedes, and yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. So with the book adaptation, imagine if you were reading it, the character development of all these people that we just got like a little taste of, it probably, you know, would have been so, if this was like a 6-hour movie, you know, watching everyone's character develop would have been something. So I feel like for him to actually be able to pull that off in such a short amount of time speaks volumes.
I think this would be an interesting book and just like this world would, I mean, obviously there's plenty of, like, we even said one of them, like Homeland or whatever, but just I was intrigued by this world of specifically Hamburg, but just the German government, you know, we just, I mean, so many of them, movies we see Americans play such a big role, and this, the only American we really see is the Robin Wright's, you know, character. Yeah,
kind of the overlord, like,
yeah,
you know,
and he even like,
do you work for me, Gunther?
Yeah, and even Gunther, like, at one point says like, Americans, you know, just like,
yeah, he doesn't like the Americans.
I love when, just because he gets low, so like when hit with the German accent, he's like, American, like, it's so visceral and like from the like gut.
What was the line he says? So what exactly is the objective here? Can you explain it to us? And he's like, he says, make the world a safer place. And yeah, he's like poking at her, and you're like, yeah, bro.
Yeah.
And then it's once and then 10 minutes later, bang.
Yeah, for him, it's a, it's like one little victory at a time. I mean, uh-huh, they are going after, like, his whole thing is, I think, that they want to keep, turn, like, they find people, like, he says in that, you know, speech that we played, that they try to find local people and turn them. So he even has the main, so he's like a, like, I think a professor philanthropist, this one.
Professional philanthropist, yeah, he's like a very rich guy, and he doesn't seem like, on the surface, like, how they profile him, he's like open, and he's not like, mm-hmm, super religious, but he's funneling money to Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, certain money to, like, a some kind of, again, it's, since it's a, it is a very big, important port town, just in Europe, in, you know, in Germany, and they're putting a little bit of, like, into a shipping company that ends up giving, I guess.
Yeah, and he's, like you said, that's his bigger fish. He thinks he can go even further if he turns him.
Yeah, and his goal is to turn him, and then they go, just go ahead and take both, I forget that, I wrote down his name, that character. I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. But that, and then Issa, you know, because he, it's, like, that's it, like, we don't know if we can trust Gunther as well, because, did you like, side with any, you know, these movies have you, like, kind of siding with people sometimes? Was anybody, Rachel McGat, did you feel for?
Well, I felt for her. I mean, she was upset.
No, but I'm just saying, did you think, like, at some points, like, oh, he's going to screw her over too, or do you think that, you know, Gunther was a straight shooting kind of guy?
I mean, I don't know.
That's an interesting question.
Because he gets the passports, right? Because it's the, that's the, he's gonna let Issa stay at the end.
Yeah, and I think he's sincere about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, the conversation, like, even this sitting here, makes me so much more aware of how layered, how nuanced the film actually was. Like, I'm thinking about, in the end, Rachel McAdams had her yell when he gets, like, taken away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then immediately, like, you refer back to her when Gunther calls her out for saying, it's almost like you wanted to be done with this. You were, mm-hmm, pretending to be apprehended, you know? And it's like, yeah, the, like, that second look, you're like, man, it was actually like hook after hook after hook after hook. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think some of that probably comes from the novel too. I would have, yeah, to imagine.
I mean, I guess it's at least, I think she sees in the end, like, his reaction is real too, that he wasn't, like, you know, because one could, you know, if I was in her shoes, you could guess that he was, like, you know, even giving you the passports and saying everything's okay, that he knew that that was going to happen, and, like, you know, the cars were going to block him and crash into him, and
I think the moment it happened was so perfect, because that's, he was, like, right about to try to turn him, you know?
Yeah.
He's, like, right, and you think it's just going to,
I love his look as a cab driver, by the way. It's like wearing the vest in the hat.
Were there any other scenes you wanted to?
I think we've mentioned it a little bit. Let's play the scene of him talking to Rachel McAdams, and, like, you know, when she first gets brought to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like they're, I guess, her mentioned.
I do. Yeah.
I do air quotes to interrogation.
You can't do this. I'm a lawyer. This is criminal.
Fuck down. Lawyer. A fucking social worker for terrorists. Cigarette. That's right, you've given up. Is that it? Is that all the fight you're going to give me? Pacifist. We know about you. Left-wing lawyer, wealthy family, father's a judge. Everything you do says fuck you to him.
Is that the best you can do? Can I go now?
Go where? Your self-righteous friends at Sanctuary North. But no one's going to saw off their heads, are they? Nobody's going to blow up their kids because they're on a beach in Bali or riding a train to school in Madrid or London.
How fucking dare you?
How fucking dare me? Tell me I've broken every rule in the book. That I've trampled on the essence of the Constitution. You want to spout that crap? Yes? Do you know where you are? No, you don't. This is the real world, Annabelle. We are fighting against the radical offcuts of a nation called Islam. You've crossed the line. You're on their side now.
Yeah, and like this, like he says, Gunther's really on. He doesn't know where she stands. He knows like who she works for. So he's assuming that she's not playing, like she's not actually like playing in the world of terrorism per se. But he's, you know, because he says, "Oh, you're self-righteous friends."
I think at this point you're not sure about Issa. Right.
Yeah. Well, that's what's really interesting about this film too, that you think like, oh, he's gonna end up like being, like he's a good guy. He doesn't want his father's money,
right.
His blood money.
Yeah, but you mean he's already been arrested for terrorism.
Yeah.
Like, so you don't know if like.
No, you don't know. Yeah.
He's actually there for that. So I think Gunther's concern. Yeah.
Thank you.
Is more. How can I put it? It's more like. If this guy actually turns out being a terrorist, is she going to support him somehow or let him go? It ends up not being really an issue because he seems like he's just a guy who wants to restart his life.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a for like an international like premise, you know, in this crazy world of, you know, spies and terrorism and stuff like that. It's a very intimate film.
Yeah,
and
that's a good way to put it.
And I like that because, again, like, there's so many movies and you're always expecting, like, a, you know, plot twist after plot twist, someone betraying after someone betraying.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just the family that, like, the mother and son that take in Issa in the beginning. You're like, or, you know, they've made it even, like, when Issa's walking behind this woman, you're like, oh, what's he gonna do? And then they cut to it, and the son comes home, and the son's also, like, a boxer.
Yeah,
you
see,
like,
the
this
son.
Guy is, like, a big physically fit
right.
guy, and you're like, ooh, he's gonna be, like, a henchman
right.
or something.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, and then you're like, Mr. Softy.
Good,
yeah.
So I guess, in a ironic way, it is, like, a lot of, like, what is that called? In the, like, shadow, or, what, like, you know, shadow games in a way, like...
Mm.
It's not that, but the film is.
Yeah.
The plot doesn't, the story doesn't have a bunch of them, but it did it to us.
Yeah.
Or at least to me. to me.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And talking it out now is making me...
I'm loving this movie more and more.
Yeah, like, making me think about it more. Yeah.
Because even when you mentioned Gunther's reaction, I was thinking about her reaction. And they go back to her, and she, like, puts her hands on her head, sitting, and she, like, sits down on the curb, and I'm like, is she full of shit? Like, did she know this was going to go down? It's like, you're really confused.
And it's funny because it's like Willem Dafoe who's like holding her back.
Yeah, he's holding her back. There's one other person I was a part of. No, there's like, I guess, whatever. I mean, do you think it's like the... Who takes him away in the end? I know it's like the characters of Moore, the German official, and Sullivan. But like, who do you think is... is it the German government, or is it also then much more with the CIA, or?
I think it's definitely like the U.S. government making the German government do it. They mention how they can't. She mentions, and it's like an allusion to like the Obama administration over the Bush administration in terms of their policy is not to take people from sovereign allies into their own custody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's actually happening here. We don't know, you know, but if that's just her line.
Well, at least it's a nice, easy time in our political system.
but they don't. Yeah, like who knows? Who the hell knows? Like who's really taking it? And we just know that this came from higher up, probably.
Yeah, and again, like Gunther is just like someone. He's in it for like the long game, but it seems like. The way that at least Americans are depicted in this, and our strategy is just like let's get them out of it, just get them out of the system.
Yeah.
And then you see so many of those movies from low level crime to again these like big like you know international organizations that you always have like oh then someone else is just going to replace that person. So I think Gunther's like game is again like he was going to let Issa go and then talk to that you know philanthropist guy and get into that world and then get into the I forget what the boat was the company was called.
To get geopolitical slightly I kind of understand where like the American point of view there would be coming from. That's a hard sell like to your higher ups like no this German guy who's fucked up before. He's on to something. Let him continue doing his thing, even though we have this guy. You know, some higher up, some boss is like, you're going to fucking let him do this?
And it's higher ups in the German government, too. It's not just like Americans pushing.
Like, let him play his game until we know we got this guy, essentially.
Yeah.
And if you know you can get this guy, get this guy.
I mean, they have that guy's like son is also like Jamal, right?
Yeah.
This is his name. And, you know, he's like, oh, I'm betraying... my father, and I mean, he's very... I mean, Gunther is manipulative. I mean, you have to be in that world.
Yeah, but I think, like, again...
But for good-hearted, like, he's... I don't know.
I think he felt like, to Jamal, that he knew that he was just going to try to turn his father, and he knew he wasn't going to, you know, have him arrested, so he'd justify it.
You know what I thought was interesting? One of the best shots of the film when Jamal's father was going to sign the document.
Mm-hmm.
The look on his face actually made me wonder
if he knew something was going on or
not that.
Okay.
But why, like, if not that if he was like hostage. And I was like, I wonder if there's like an organization that has a gun to his head, making sure he signs all these documents over. Mm-hmm, look was it's hard to. There was like empathy is the wrong word, but like
I know what you're
kind of like. Yeah. Huh.
There's a heavy like probably every time he signs something.
Yeah.
There's a heaviness to
and
it.
And it like, wasn't like a.
He thinks
they're gonna catch me right now. It was kind of. Yeah,
well, I think he thinks of the consequences every time.
Right. But
That's a good way. That's a good, theory because that makes sense because, you know, who knows? Someone could be extorting him.
And you know what it is?
I heard it, man, where did I hear it first? I think it was, not to get crazy, but it was Roger Ailes first did it with Nixon. And it's that lower angle camera view. And I could be wrong, but I think it was a lower angle camera view from his right side, and you saw the contemplation on his face. Mm-hmm. And that is a view of, I don't want to say superiority, but the way he like nailed it, the thoughtfulness in it, you were like, just for a second, I was like, is this a bad guy? What?
Yeah. Huh? Well, in his hesitation of signing it, I thought at that moment, like, oh, is all, like, he's not going to, and he's just going to, like, try to run off, and then that's when people come busting in the doors or something like that. Like, is it going to, but everything kind of, everything in this film is working, and everyone kind of is the way that they're initially, like, set up to be. Like, Issa is a refugee and doesn't want anything more at this point to do with, like,
yeah.
That, you know, like, yeah. Everyone actually is kind of what they're portrayed to be, except for, I guess, Robin Wright's character that ends up betraying, you know, Gunther, but...
Yeah, but she didn't come in all like, oh, you know.
Yeah, no. If you looked at her haircut and her outfit, well, yeah, the fact that she's exactly what she looked like.
I don't trust a brunette Robin Wright.
No.
We'll have to tune into last season of House of Cards.
Is she brunette in that? She changes her hair.
No, she's I mean, she's,
oh, okay.
No. She's a blonde, but I can't trust her in that world either. So.
Yeah, whatever.
I just don't trust her.
Can't trust her, period.
I don't trust her, yeah.
Nope. I do like late career Robin Wright. I don't want to say late career, because hopefully she has a long career.
Post-Jenny Robin Wright.
Yeah, as opposed to...
She left Billy Bean, though.
But like, okay, not like that. She's hardly in Moneyball.
I know,
but
she's hardcore. You know, an actor or actress is hardcore. And like, if you saw them in real life, you'd be nervous.
She's intimidating.
Yeah. If I saw Robin Wright in real life, I'd be like
intimidating.
I'd cross the street.
Yeah, for like a petite woman, she's just even like fit, like standing. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Oh, she's got power.
This isn't damsel in distress, Robin Wright anymore.
No. You
know? No.
This is like, holy shit.
Yeah. Her distress is like she killed her husband. Like,
this is the puppeteer Robin. Right?
Yeah. You know, something's up kind of thing. And not puppeteering Forrest Gump, a slow person into doing what she wants.
Don't get me on that. I hate the character of Jenny. She's a horrible person.
As more time passes, more people realize that.
Yeah.
It falls into... Maybe that's where it started. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe then start its a turn.
That'll be later on in our Forrest Gump podcast where we break down.
Or Robin Wright podcast, possibly.
Oh, possibly. She would be, yeah, when the guys were deciding on a female podcast. That would have been... Well, she'll probably end up on the other... What's the one that they have now for the strong women?
Wish we knew. We could promote it.
Yeah.
You can call it Robin Wrong.
Robin
Wright podcast.
Oh, man. So was there another scene you want to talk about, or is...
No, I mean, those were the two...
We can't, like, I'd love to play the last scene, but it's more about, like, watching than...
Yeah.
Than listening.
Well, maybe, you know what, obviously we're recording this now, but then it's going to get released, so maybe that, the day of, I will post, they have that final scene, so I'll post the scene with it.
Oh, on our Facebook page?
On our Facebook page.
You can check that out.
Check it out on our Facebook page. And, it's an interesting movie. I think it's a really well executed movie. I'm just like looking at my notes to see if there's anything else I really want to say. It is a movie that at the end it says in loving memory of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, and somebody else.
The other guy is he was a producer of also other film adaptations of, again, the author.
Okay.
So he passed away this around the same time. So.
Gotcha. So, anything else you want to bring up, Kurt?
No, just the movie. It's even better than I thought it was after this discussion.
Yeah, this is.
It's happened sometimes.
Yeah. That
like,
I've been,
you know what? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And there's that's some cool. That after a little while, I'm like,
that's really cool.
Or revisiting a film like Patch Adams, which doesn't age well.
Oh my god.
But but this is it's a very. I'm happy that. As far as, you know, it being his last, like, film that he is the lead in, you know, that this was a worthy you know, I mean, by all means, The Master, that would have been, like, almost, like, you know, if he passed away right after The Master came out in 2012, that would have just been, like, you know, a crazy performance to go around. But it's not, it's kind of perfect for his career, because it is this very, it's just, like, this subtle, it's about, it shows a little bit of, like, every side of him in a way, and his, what made him just such a terrific actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, I'll say it again, I'm happy he's still kicking ass towards the end, you know?
Yeah.
He's still doing shit. He hasn't mailed it in, and he's not gonna, I mean, if you want to talk about, we don't know, right? We have to watch or rewatch the last two Hunger Games.
Yes.
And see how they really utilize him post.
Yeah, again, I don't think I've seen any parts of part one, maybe parts of part one, and then I've seen a majority of, have you seen either any of the Hunger Games?
I saw the first one.
Yeah, and he's not, yeah, he comes in the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're recent. We, you know, because we have to watch the Hunger Games stuff, so I don't know, I guess we'll see how they use him, but this is probably...
Yeah, but also it's the Hunger Games. You know, like...
I'm enjoying them more than I thought I would enjoy them.
Fair, yeah, but they're not his movies at all.
No, exactly. Yeah, that's either way. Yeah. That's, you know, this is his... Last,
his, like, last complete role, we'll say. Yeah. You know, like his last top to bottom. So, you know, and he does a great job.
Yeah.
So, that being said, Kirk, is there any place people, if you want people to follow you, if not, is there any place to...
Instagram, any social media, or just, I don't know.
Your business.
My girlfriend does my Instagram account. I don't know what the name is. But it probably has Blake Shepherd in there somewhere. And, nah, that's it, man. Cool. This was fun.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Definitely again, really appreciate it. Always like to...
I saw right away that you were just... You kind of... Your face lit up when we said Philip Seymour Hoffman. You truly did appreciate his work, as do we, and as do, I assume, most of our...
Oh, it's going to be so hard to say goodbye.
I know. But. Well, maybe we'll, you know, like, Brian and I are always talking, and hopefully there's... You know, maybe after the podcast ends, we'll have episodes here and there of, you know, revisiting.
Yeah,
and like,
we might revisit films, revisit things.
Yeah.
Like,
go watch it on the big screen. So, all I'm going to say is hopefully in the future, besides just seeing you at social events and enjoying conversations with you, maybe we'll get to have you on again and
in some capacity,
one or another.
So. Anytime. Awesome.
So as always, you can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Android, and Google Play, yes. And you could also find us always on cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
.me.
Yes, a lot of other good shows there, as we always try to promo our buddies there. We've been guest stars on some recently. I was just on a Cage Club rewatch of Honeymoon in Vegas, which was very fun.
Little Bruno Mars?
Bruno Mars is like a child Elvis. In the film.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
great.
Shit.
You got to look up the clip.
that just obviously outed me as someone that didn't listen to either Revisited or the original. The original.
I was also recently on the Moonstruck Revisited, so check that out.
Jeez.
We have a couple coming up, I know.
Yeah.
Definitely check out the other shows on there because good stuff. This is like the golden age of Cage Club, I would say.
Yes, and as said in the beginning, and as it's clear that our podcast is coming towards and, you know, an end, and, you know, as far as covering all of his films.
Yeah, next week we should have a little itinerary for how we're going to end this thing.
Yes.
We got some special surprises, some special event in the works, we'll put it that way.
Sure.
No details yet, but hopefully by next week we can share those details, and we hope to have your cooperation with it. That'd be nice.
Yeah, and so tune in. You'll hear that on the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 episode. So that's...
Do the Hunger Games sound. Yeah. Yeah. So we conclude the Hunger Games.
Yes.
What is a trilogy of four?
Yeah. Three, like, yeah, it's, there's a two-parter at the end. It was three books.
I don't know. The Hunger Games saga. We will end it. In the next 2 weeks, and
yeah, Kirkland, we always end with our with us saying, or if we have a guest on, saying to our Hoff fans, reminding them to stay uncool. It's a line that he says in one of the great, great movies and roles of Almost Famous. So if you would remind the Hoff fans to stay uncool.
Hoff fans, stay uncool.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. I believe in miracles.